Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody being with us. Hour one, Bryn Zwerneman, man who dealt out the info last, I want to say Wednesday morning. And he said, this very brief, that exclusive report, Houston Chronicle, that Houston and OU, or Texas and OU had done their thing, reaching out, and it got serious over 6 months, et cetera. So appreciate Brent coming on with us. If you missed the interview, you want to hear it, thepodcastpark.com. Great place to go. You click like or subscribe. Subscribe, you get it every day. It shows up. You would have gotten all the coverage from all the media days we were at last week, as well as, again, the Brent Zwerneman interview, and he's the guy that was ground zero for this story. So you can always get that there. Coming up in about 10 minutes, that was sort of the Texas A&M angle, the side as the story emerged. We're going to head out to Austin, Texas, from CBS Austin. Bob Ballou going to come on and give us the UT angle. That's coming up in about 10, but right now I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Arizona State places tight end coach on leave. That would be Adam Brenneman, and I am saying that he will be one of the sacrifices made. NCAA has a lot of questions about what Arizona State was doing with on-campus recruits during an on-campus ban that lasted like 15 months. Yeah, about 15 months. And so far, the tight end coach now being placed on leave as a result of that, recruiting issues. That's the first name actually going to be. Is Herm in trouble? We associated Herm with it because he's the head coach. But again, Adam Brenneman. He has now been suspended. Somebody's going to have to pay. Maybe it's just him. Headline. Clemson picked to win seventh straight ACC title. They're going to, by the way. Now, I say that, and the truth is that I can tell you factually, Clemson is the best team and best program in the ACC right now. I can only tell you I believe that they will win their seventh straight ACC because you got to get there and you got to have, you know, not a crazy 60 minutes where half your team loses their mind and you get a turnover and then a bad thing on a punt return and suddenly you look up and you're not down seven or eight, you're down nine and there's like 3 minutes left. So the ACC collected media, though, has picked Clemson to win its seventh straight ACC. I believe that as well. There are about 150 votes cast. Clemson got 125 to win the conference. North Carolina got 16. There were some scattered votes to other programs like Georgia Tech, which they got one. NC State, Virginia got one. Miami got three. But Clemson won 25 and far and away the leader. Again, out of the 149, 150 roughly media who were voting, Clemson got 146 first-place votes in the Atlantic Division. North Carolina got 109 in the Coastal, Miami, Virginia Tech. There are some other individual teams if you want to go out and look as well. But again, the media vote in the ACC has been announced, and that is what's going on. All right, consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little more UT and Oklahoma next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 53 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours a day. Been doing that since the beginning of the 14 season. Appreciate everybody making that possible. Texas and Oklahoma have announced that we will honor our existing agreements, which means that their media rights will continue to belong to the Big 12 through the end of the 25. See, actually, I think it's like June of 25. But that was a legal requirement anyway, that they're saying that as of today, we don't plan on stroking a check for about $80 million so that we can get out of it. As of today, what we plan is we will honor our commitments, but we will not renew them. I've already said, folks, the remaining programs in the Big 12, to a small degree, like if you got that pie graph, like 9%, it's on you. If you didn't get in a hint and a half a decade ago what was going on when OU and Texas had to be, please, 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 please don't leave. You should have spent the last decade trying to be Missouri. You should have spent the last decade trying to be Rutgers. Rutgers still looks around at Big Ten meetings going, they let us in? Really? License to print money. That's what being in the Big Ten is. But instead, you've got TCU and Oklahoma State looking around going, hey, are we going to have a conference? We've already covered the Texas A&M side. We went to Houston for that. Well, let's head out to Austin. From CBS Austin, it is Bob Ballou, sports director yonder. Bob, how are you today?
Hey, no, I went to Mizzou, so be careful.
No, that's a good thing. They should have tried to be Missouri. Missouri got into the SEC, man. That's the end of the rainbow.
I still can't believe it. Yeah, this is I was joking. I said that I picked a heck of a week to go on vacation. I was up in upstate New York with my wife's family, and what a week to be away.
You wouldn't think you were there for media days, and then the next week we'll go out of town, honey.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think that's the way that would work, but here we are. So it's been a heck of a week.
All right, so the announcement today, we will honor our existing agreements. Now, part of the existing agreement is you can pay to get out of the existing agreement, but OU and Texas have said, we will make nice as of this afternoon. Everything's fine, but we're still exploring and we're not going to renew. Do you have either a guess or do you have little birdies tweeting at you about a possible timeline for another announcement from OU and Texas?
Yeah, as soon as possible would be my guess. Listen, this stuff, when it happens, it goes and it goes quick. And when this story broke last week, some of the media guys I know in Austin were saying, you know, this is going to happen, but, you know, what's the timeline? I don't think they thought Monday morning would be when Texas and Oklahoma would announce they're going to do this. And then it just, again, it escalates. And I think that's the way this will go down as well. I think this will all escalate quickly. I think they will try to do everything they can to join the SEC by 2022. Now, I don't know if that's possible. It may be 2023, but there's no way this is going to extend out 4 years of everybody knowing what's happening, everybody trying to figure out where they're going, figure out what they're doing. The other eight teams trying to figure out what they're doing, and Texas and Oklahoma's like, well, you know, we're going to the SEC. We're just going to wait 4 years. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this will be as quickly as they can make it happen, it will happen.
The Big 12 is in a tough spot negotiating-wise because they got to sit there, you know, trying to look like they have options.
Right.
Other than, you know, a boatload of spice and gold and frankincense and myrrh, what can they offer? Like, what is the conversation with OU and Texas right now other than we'll give you a share and a half of the TV revenue?
I mean, there's not one, quite honestly. I mean, I think, you know, they had a call yesterday, and Texas and Oklahoma got on the call, and they said, basically, we're here to listen. I think they want to hear what the Big 12 has to say, and but they're just, I mean, their minds are made up. You don't do something like this behind the scenes for 6 months to a year, however long this has been going on, with the intention of, well, now let's go back to the negotiating table with the Big 12. I mean, you do this because you're going to you know, have the shift in college football and make this a 16-team power conference in the SEC and do this, you know, as quick, like I said, as quickly as possible. Now, what that ends up being, I don't think we know yet, but I think both those schools' intentions are very clear. And I think the sooner you can make this happen, the better it'll be for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a painful divorce, but you know, Texas leaving Baylor and TCU and Texas Tech behind and Oklahoma leaving Oklahoma State behind is going to be a big blow for a long time. But in the end, you know, that's just where this is shifting. That's what it's going to be. And, you know, a lot of people look at Texas and they say, you know, and Oklahoma, the same thing. But you look at the home games they host every year and they just, you know, get hosting Iowa State and Kansas and Texas Tech. And it just it's not the power of college football that you want it to be. And so obviously when you move to the SEC, you're going to get that and you're going to get it quick. And I think that'll be a big boost in a lot of ways for both schools.
All right. So unmuddy the waters, if you can. I have been told by folks out there, and it's been a consistent message, but I don't know if it's accurate or not, dysfunction at UT and the attitude, and they still think that they occupy college football royalty, and it's 1969. is that an accurate about their portrayal of their self-importance? And also, do they understand when they get to the SEC, they're kind of just going to be another brand?
I'll answer the first part first, yes. The I don't know what word you want to use. You want to use the word arrogance. I think that's probably okay. The arrogance of Texas is a long-standing thing, and I think even with the decade of more or less irrelevance on the national scene of college football, it is still that brand. It is still the University of Texas, and I think that they believe that they have that, you know, that type of the Ohio State type of influence, the Michigan type of influence, the now Alabama, now that Alabama's, you know, been resurgent for 15 years, however long Saban's been there. You know, those type of things are what they believe for sure, 100%. They believe that the University of Texas is the brand in the country. And that's fine. I mean, you know, they're allowed to believe, and Oklahoma obviously believes its brand's pretty strong too, as long as Oklahoma's been what it is, the tradition of college football. So, yes, I think both those brands believe that, and I do believe, you know, when they get to the SEC, they believe they will be the top brand or one of the top brands in the league. I don't think they are making a move thinking we're the, you know, I think it was Dennis Dodd or someone say, you know, Oklahoma's the fifth best program and Texas is the sixth best program going into the SEC. Neither one of those schools believe that. And it will be interesting to see, you know, just how long it takes for that kind of mixture of butting heads of, you know, we're here to you know, Texas and Oklahoma have run the Big 12 for 20 years now. And so, and Texas obviously was the top brand in the Southwest Conference forever before that, along with A&M. So, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, will it be that they get knocked, their heads knocked in and take a step back and a peg down, or will it be that they come in and kind of establish themselves, especially on the football? I mean, obviously it revolves around football. Let's not kid ourselves. It's, you know, Texas is really good at all the Olympic sports, and when they won three national titles this year, that in the grand scheme of things is great for them, but nobody's going to talk about their women's rowing national title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It revolves around college football, and until Texas is back to a relevant state in college football, that's going to be the knock on them and the way that they kind of the SEC teams kind of attack them as they enter the league.
Now, you had mentioned Oklahoma State, but just in a list of, you know, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, et cetera, I have separate, and I think a lot of folks have separated out Oklahoma State as, oh, yeah, look at who got left behind. It's Baylor and Texas Tech and TCU. And then there's Oklahoma State. It's like because they're in the state and it's just them and OU, I'm expecting there to be some sort of like special legislative session where the Cowboys get assigned to the Southeastern. Is there anybody coming to rescue Oklahoma State, or are they just like Texas Tech?
I think they're just like Texas Tech, and there are legislators in Texas doing the same thing, trying to put bills together to push across. But again, you got to realize Governor Abbott appoints the Board of Regents in the state of Texas for the University of Texas, and I can't imagine they left him in the dark for the last 6 months to a year while they were talking about this. So he knows what's coming, and I you know, in Oklahoma, that it is a little bit of a different deal. Now, I will give you that part because it is just Oklahoma and Oklahoma State up there. But there's nothing that I think anyone can do to stop something like this. I mean, I think, Texas and Oklahoma aren't dumb. I mean, they got their dotted their I's and crossed their T's before they did anything about this. And that's why it was so radio silent for 6 months to a year where nobody knew it was happening. The fact that Texas left Texas A&M out of all of these conversations, the SEC left A&M out of all these conversations, tells you all you need to know. So that's what I think is maybe the most interesting part of all this is what happens to Oklahoma State? What happens to Texas Tech? Do they form a 20-team Pac-12 power conference? Do they stay the 8 in the Big 12 and try to go get some of the AAC teams? I don't think that happens because it doesn't bring you the TV revenue you need. So, you know, there, Kansas and Iowa State and West Virginia, Kansas and Iowa State would look to the Big Ten. I would think West Virginia would look to the ACC. But you've got to make those things happen, and you know, we just got to wait and see if that's what happens. I think Kansas would be a big brand for Big Ten only because of basketball, because they would automatically be, you know, one of the top teams in that conference on that front. But again, these eight teams have to figure out what they're going to do now, and they're all scrambling trying to figure it out.
Wrapping up with Bob Ballew, again, CBS Austin sports director. All right, Bob, I need you to bet your CBS Austin pension on tell me the first year, like September of what year OU and Texas play in the SEC.
Oh, man. It's going to be 2022 or 2023. I guess I'll wait till 2023 just to stay on the safe side, but the way they are pushing this, there's nothing that would surprise me. I just think 2022 is going to be a little quick to make this happen, but it's going to be one of those 2 years.
All right, Bob Ballew, appreciate it, brother. This is good stuff, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, Bob Ballew again. Bob, B-A-L-L-O-U, Bob Ballew. Got a blue check, so I know it was him again, sports director, CBS Austin. That is the most that is the most intriguing question to be answered. Some folks are still bogged down on the if and the possibilities and the hows, and I don't know those answers, but I know that those answers will be worked out by people in the room. See, you don't have to, we don't have answers yet. We don't have to have answers. We just have to know that the people who are supposed to come up with them, oh yeah, they'll handle that. The most intriguing question to me is, all right, well, when? That's how quickly this went. I told you, it's pacing 90 minutes the other day. I was like, my gosh, who sent me that text message? Leave me alone. I'm busy. Don't send crazy stuff on my cell phone. Hour and a half later, I'm texting the guy back going, what else you got? What else? Didn't have time for him. Did not. You are bothering me. What? What else you got? Hour and a half. Now, there is a scenario, folks. In fact, I think it's the best scenario possible for OU and Texas, and it really could happen. As a result of the pending official exit of Texas and OU, so many other programs chart their own exit from the Big 12 that there isn't a conference to leave anymore, and neither Texas or Oklahoma have to pay anyone $80 million as an exit fee. When I'd said earlier in the program, it's estimated to be between 75 and 80 million. Well, they don't have it in writing. No, they do have it in writing. What was the Maryland exit? Wasn't it $50 million from the ACC? And they looked at the Big Ten money and they were like, well, we're going to try to sue to get out of paying the full 50. But if we have to, yeah, we good. How can you be good writing a check for 50 million? Well, because we're joining the Big Ten, and they got the Big Ten network, and it's a faucet with $1,000 bills pouring out of it. Oh, okay. 50. In the Big 12, it's not a set number like that. It is 2 years of your media rights conference distribution. Each, by the way, 2 years for OU, 2 years for Texas. So it's estimated that the two-year total is between 75 and 80. And so that would be their exit fee, unless there ain't a conference left to pay it to.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Well, our next guest, he lives about 1,000 miles away, and I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. But I consider him a good friend of the program because, man, he brings the information. I want to welcome on now, host of The Rush, that Sports Talk 1400 out yonder in Norman, Oklahoma. I want to welcome back on Tyler McComas. Tyler, how you doing today?
SEC colleague Chuck Oliver. This is fantastic.
Is that
oh
what
my
we are
God,
now?
Chuck, this is great, man.
Okay. Now, I got to, have you ever been in a police lineup, though?
A couple times, yeah, and now that I'm going to be going to places like Fayetteville and Auburn and Gainesville, I'm probably going to appear in a couple more, Chuck. To be honest with you, I'm that excited.
Yeah, just keep the wipes, get the ink off your fingers. All right, let's talk about Oklahoma and the pending move. I have to assume that you are like everyone else outside of the Houston Chronicle that you found out when you saw it on Twitter the other day. Just kind of walk us through that, and then I'm assuming immediately you start texting your contacts at OU or in the media, et cetera. Just unfold it from the Norman, Oklahoma perspective, because it was only like it was a week after media days had already happened.
Yeah, we were in the first hour of my show out here in Norman, and then all of a sudden this report comes out, and you know how it is at this time of the year. You kind of say, yeah, okay, and then we take a break to read everything that's going on, and we have a four-hour show. That was the tail end of hour number one. By hour number three of our show, 2 hours later, I was fully convinced that this was real and this was going to happen, that OU was going to go to the SEC. Now, I never could have imagined at the time that it was going to unfold this quickly, that we'd find out about it on Wednesday, and OU and Texas basically announced to lead the Big 12 on Monday. It's been nuts. And a big conversation that we've had out here, Chuck, is, well, when did Lincoln Riley find out? Did Lincoln Riley find out Wednesday like the rest of us? Or did he find out, you know, maybe a few months ago while Joe Castiglione, Texas, were in the conversations with the SEC? There's one assistant coach on campus that didn't find out until Wednesday. And as shocking as this may sound, and he hasn't went on the record and said this, I'm kind of like under the impression that like even Lincoln Riley may have not have found out until last week.
If we look at Oklahoma and what they're going to gain with the move, I mean, obviously, you know, it's money and TV networks, et cetera, et cetera. But there is an interesting angle to this that in any year, and I'm not taking shots at programs, okay, because I know regionally, you know, everybody's opinions change when you get a little closer to some of these campuses. But if you look at a home schedule, and I mean literally like any year for Oklahoma, you look at the home conference schedule, how jazzed are Norman fans in Norman when they look and they see, all right, we got Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, and Kansas State coming in? Those are our home games. I have to imagine any SEC home schedule is better than the best possible OU home schedule in the Big 12.
You couldn't be more accurate. And in terms of, like, excitement from the fan base, that's the biggest reason why. You know, since Bob Stoops got here in 99, they really haven't been all that pressed, hard-pressed to sell a lot of season tickets around here. You know, Bob came in here and turned it around immediately. Everybody was just on fire for this program. And you get to the early 2000s, Chuck, there was a massive wait list for season tickets. If you wanted to be a season ticket holder, well, good luck. You're going to have to wait 2, 3, 4 years to actually get in possession of those things. I mean, OU football tickets were an extremely hot commodity. But, you know, since the Big 12 lost some members and the members that they add, I mean, in this conference, you've got Kansas State who will come to Norman and bring like 50 fans. You've got West Virginia that will come to Norman and bring like 35 fans. You got Texas Tech that'll come to Norman and bring very few fans as well. Like, there's no excitement with these teams coming in. The 2022 home schedule will look like this: UTEP, Kent State, Baylor, Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
PU.
Now, people here pay a lot of money for season tickets, man. A lot of people spend a lot of money for season tickets, and people are fed up with it. So much so that a lot of people haven't opted back into their season tickets from a year ago. Season ticket sales, they're doing advertisement for season ticket sales unlike I've ever seen before. They are hurting right now to sell those season ticket packages. And this is resolved overnight now. Guarantee you, this move today, there are people opting back into their season tickets. And when the move to the SEC is official, it'll look like that early 2000s feel where there could even be a wait list again. Yet from the fans' perspective, nothing is more exciting. I mean, God, Chuck, Arkansas coming in, right? Even that is like a massive upgrade. OU's got Nebraska coming to town. Nebraska hasn't been relevant in 20 years, and everyone's super jacked about this game because it's like, finally, someone with a big fan base is actually going to come into our stadium, you know, help fill it up and have a good time. It just gets so boring playing all these teams that have no real fan base.
Yeah. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Missouri grad. He says, do you know how depressing it is growing up being told you're supposed to care about an Illinois game every year? And Now they're in the SEC, and that wasn't a conference matchup, but that now they're in the SEC, and they're like, every single year, it huge home game after huge home game in Como. And he said it never had that vibe when we were playing a conference slate before. And so that's what is ahead for anybody in the Big 12 who bolts to the SEC, obviously. I want to ask you what's going on up in Stillwater, because I had always, and I just talked about this in the previous segment, I don't know if I'm off on this, but somehow I had learned, wherever Oklahoma goes, they got to take Oklahoma State with them. I was told that like 10 years ago. Apparently that's not true.
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot over the course of the past few days. It's not true whatsoever. And I don't even know if it was true 10 years ago. If push would have came to shove and if OU would have wanted to go to a conference that didn't want Oklahoma State, I don't even think that would have been a thing then. But it was never a consideration. I mean, OU's going to the SEC and Oklahoma State is not coming with them. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
So what happens to Oklahoma State and Baylor and TCU, et cetera? Because they don't have a single, like, you got to have at least two or three, you think, in a conference. They don't have a single, piling to build everything around in this conference anymore.
I'm really worried about those other teams, Chuck. The word around here, the thought around here is, well, Oklahoma State, you know, they're arguably a top 20 or a top 25 football program. Well, that just means that they'll get picked up somewhere because they've won 10 games recently. Like, people around here are looking at it from the wrong angle. Like, that matters, but it doesn't matter. Like, you've got to be able to add something to a conference. So everyone's got this pipe dream around here that the Big Ten's just going to magically invite Oklahoma State because they have a pretty decent football program. Well, no, because Oklahoma State is not going to get them more TV money, in my opinion. So the Ohio States and the Michigan of the world aren't going to be like, yeah, let's add two teams just to add two teams, and our cut each and every year will be smaller because we're bringing two teams in. Like, no one in any conference is going to do that. So I don't think the Big Ten is in play for Oklahoma State. There have been rumors that Kansas has been talking to the Big Ten, but apparently those calls never actually really happened. I think the ball is in the court of the Pac-12 right now. I really do. If the Pac-12 sees some type of gain to add some Big 12 schools, then that probably is what's going to happen. That's best-case scenario for those teams left. But I think more than likely, Chuck, the Big 12 is going to stay the Big 12, and they're probably going to try to add a BYU, maybe a UCF, someone like that. I just don't see any of these other teams really being picked up by any major conferences because they don't add anything. You got to add something these days, man.
Do you get to the level, if you're the Big 12, do you get to the level of a serious consideration of the Tulane, Memphis, Cincinnati, Tulsa, et cetera, corridor?
I think that that's probably last resort, honestly. Again, BYU is way more likely. I think UCF's way more likely. I think Cincinnati's way more likely. I think what the Big 12 will try to do initially, if they want to add teams, which they're going to have to, is to probably pick out who you value the most out of the AAC. So I think Houston could probably be in play at that point. But, man, I think they'd have to get really desperate to go down the world of, you know, the Tulane and Tulsas of the world.
Tyler, appreciate the insight, man. Just such interesting times going on. So much to talk about. Thank you for coming on, man.
See you at SEC Media Day next year, Chuck. I can't wait.
Maybe 2 years. Tyler McComas again, we'll Sports Talk 1400. Norman, all right, brother. Thank you so much. Again, host of The Rush every day, 2 to 6 out yonder. Did you follow his timeline? He said that we got the news came down at the very end. He says to do a four-hour show. The very end of hour one is when he got the news. He said by hour three, about an hour and a half later, he was like, it was the full show. That's the same. It took an hour and a half, 2 hours. And he had the same timeline there. Oklahoma State is attractive, and more so than I'm going to say a lot of other programs, because they bring it in so many other sports. But the only two that are going to really matter are football and men's hoops. You know, that there are exceptions. Like Oklahoma State has been a really good baseball program over the years, wrestling as well. When you get up to Iowa State, that's real wrestling country. But they've had plenty of just outstanding athletic team. Doesn't matter. If you're winning the women's indoor track champion, national championship, that's great. It's not football or men's basketball. The exception, Tennessee, UConn, there. Okay, that becomes revenue. It is a very, very hard examination of the finances of any prospective program that would be invited to join. For instance, the Big Ten, are you out of your mind? They've already got their financial house in order. Now, when I talk about strongest conferences or best conferences, I am almost always talking about on field, and that can be a season-to-season sort of thing. In fact, the ACC, it wasn't even last year. When was it? Maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. At one point, I was like, the ACC may be the best conference in football this year. Now, I said, for this year, and I know it's temporary, and it's just this year. See, the Big Ten, that's a normal sort of conversation over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Now, the eventual answer is, but the SEC's better. But it's a legit conversation you can have. And it has been. Now? Well, we just added Oklahoma and Texas. What about you? Oh, we hadn't added anything yet. We've decided to counter with Oklahoma State. See, isn't Oklahoma State one of the programs you specifically can't, quote, counter with? Hey, we just got the Oklahoma Sooners. We're going to counter with the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Like, you no. If just Texas had left and joined the SEC, the Big Ten saying, "Oh, who do we counter with?" Because if you ain't growing, you're about to be shrinking. If you are not being proactive about this, then you may be looking around going, hey, wait a minute, what's our conference roster look like again? Big Ten? No, that ain't going to happen. But for other conferences, if the SEC would have just taken Texas, you might be able to say, well, we got Oklahoma State. You can't say Oklahoma State when your biggest competition to be best conference took the real team that everybody would want. All right, now I just said your competition to be the best conference. Well, Chuck, what's that matter? It doesn't matter in terms of fan conversation. It doesn't matter in terms of SEC yelling that stuff at games. None of that matters. I've never yelled that, by the way. I've never understood that. But it doesn't matter as far as like fan discussion and wearing the belt that we're the best conference. Do you know what matters? Money, which is why. Well, but you emphasize money too much. I ain't emphasizing money. I'm just telling you they do. And so that's why it – best conference. All right, well, we are a network. ESPN, ABC, NBC, we're thinking of dropping the Irish. Who at Fox? Whoever. We're a TV network, and we want some college football. All right, well, we're going to get in the bidding. Who are we going to bid on? We're going to bid on the SEC or the Big Ten. Well, those are the two heritage, you know, guaranteed return sort of conferences to do your TV business with. Well, looks apples to apples to – oh, it looks apples to apples plus Longhorns and Sooners. That's not apples anymore. It's like apples in a monkey wrench. So that's why it matters in terms of money, which is what's driving – see, we don't get to pick what their variables are. And their variable is money. So in terms of SEC leadership, Big Ten leadership, ESPN leadership – CBS leadership, which remember, The CBS package by itself, I think the number was either $18 or $20 million. Just not in revenue, more revenue per school, per year, and that's before Texas and Oklahoma are potentially joining. Let me ask you, you get a vote, okay? You're South Carolina, you're Ray Tanner or the president, whoever that is, and they got a new one. Whatever. You're the vote for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And you're sitting around, and you're being, hey, if Oklahoma and Texas join, you were going to get an extra $18 million a year. Now you get an extra $26 million. I vote yes. Well, no, we have more of the proposal. Could we skip to the vote, please? I vote yes. NFL expansion, we know that's coming, right? Can I go ahead and give you some earth-shattering news? I mean, this is going to be seismic. The next NFL expansion, folks, it's going to be four teams because they have to make the math work. And it might be London, Mexico City, Honolulu, and Toronto for all I know. But they're going to have four. It'll be $3.5 billion per expansion franchise. This would be like 3, 4, 5 years down the road. It's going to be $14 billion in expansion fees that you're going to go into an owner's meeting and go, hello, existing owners. We're going to have a vote right now. If you vote yes, you get an extra $400 million that will just show up and you don't have to do anything for it. If you vote no, you don't get the $400 million. And by the way, that $14 billion, that's with the league already peeling off its 5% or 3.5%, whatever, to keep in New York. The leftover money gives you, owner of the Tennessee Titans, if you vote yes, you get five. I vote yes then. That's what this vote is going to be. Vanderbilt, how do you, yes. LSU, yes. Texas A&M, yes.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
So I decided it's best for me to come back another year and try to, you know, have a regular season. So last year was so weird, no COVID season, no off season. You know, we had a decent season, but it wasn't my standard. It wasn't our standard. So, you know, a bunch of us decided to come back and try to make it our standard this year. So that's the goal.
Wow, wow, wow. Love that kid. B. Eric Kane. Late of Houston. Miami quarterback last year for just about the entire season except part of that Cheez-Its Bowl after he had his injury. It was just terrible stuff. And he was a kid, remember, about a week before the bowl game. I think maybe it was the bowl week, actually, had announced that he was coming back for this season anyway. And then the injury, and it was the right decision. If you care about his chances to play quarterback in the NFL, Derek King's not going to play quarterback in the NFL. So him coming back for a year isn't going to do anything, I don't believe, to further that. He is a guy who can play on Sundays, but again, I think going into this last draft, one of the reasons that he decided way back in December to come back is he was projected to be between, I saw high teens to low 20s. Well, gosh, that's a first-round draft pick. No. If you ranked just the quarterbacks, he was thought to be in the high teens to the low 20s of draftable quarterbacks. And so he's like, well, I don't want to be a draftable quarterback. Five quarterbacks went in the first round. Only another five got drafted the entire rest of the draft. So if he lands at, say, 20 on just half of those, you would have to draft twice as many just to get to him. So he's like, I'm going to come back. Again, I don't know that he's going to make playing on Sunday. Actually, you know what? Let me say, he may not play on Sundays. You know when he may play? Like Thursday nights. You know who does that? Canada. I don't know if De'Aaron can speak French or he can learn it. Or maybe he can go to one of the places in Canada. Where don't you? Like Toronto, you don't speak French, do you? Montreal, you do.
Yeah, it's only in Quebec.
There you go. David, he's a hockey fan. So, yeah, maybe go play with Toronto or Ottawa or somewhere. But he may be able to do that. He's just not going to be able to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. And no matter how athletic you are, no matter how slash you are, no matter how whatever, you know what Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes do a lot of? Stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. So that's just kind of his future. But he's coming back, and I can't wait because he's going to have a blast playing quarterback for the Hurricanes this year. I think they're going to have a real good season. All right, let me go ahead and wrap this up with the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
I am correct about one positive aspect college football has been losing through conference realignment, and it's irrelevant. Regionalism is a huge part of why the college game is so different, and in part why it has always mattered more to fans. The money involved chokes out any importance being applied to virtually every other factor, including regionalism. When you lived next to the stadium for 4 years, or on campus, got to know the players or coaches, or you've gotten to know the fans who have always tailgated in the same spot every year when Virginia plays here, that's how true, deep fandom grows. Regionalism is well on its way to being an anecdotal reference that most people won't believe. Oh, wait a minute. So, y'all played Tennessee every single year? Yep. For how many years? 71 straight years. What? It's like reading about the NBA Finals being aired, not live, but at 11:30 at night after the evening news, which was the truth into my freshman year of high school. It's a Super Bowl on January 9th, which was true in high school as well. Southeastern Conference, not really anymore. But it doesn't really matter. That is my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. It has always mattered. It's been part of it because we are attracted to familiarity. There's a phrase. Y'all know that people, you know what you like. Mm-mm, flip that around. I've always believed people like what they know. That there is a built-in bias towards something that I'm familiar with and I know. And that's what's one of the attractions of college football. That's always been more regional, and now that just is not the case. All right, wraps it up, folks, on a Monday. Give me 22 hours. Recharge those batteries. I promise. I'll be back tomorrow with David, the engineer. Not Matt, the producer, because he won't be here. Dan, the producer, will be back, but we still like Matt anyway. All right, wraps it up, folks. Be back tomorrow with more college football talk.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.